Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, where the cards are fun and the people are just a little bit crazy. This show is brought to you by GoDaddy. Get your new domain or transfer for only $2.95. Use the coupon code MMO295. And by Guild Launch, slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. And by Doghouse Systems, makers of elite PC gaming machines. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and double your RAM. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined again by my good friend and former roommate, Eric Belsas.
Hey, Josh. I can see, you know, you didn't want to risk any of your other guests on episode 13.
I know, yeah. Frankly, I'm terrified right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm standing by my door with a golf club, just in case anything happens.
That's how the lightning hits you, Josh.
Oh, well, it's a wooden golf club. It's one of the old-timey ones.
Okay, you're safe.
Thank you. Yeah, that was close. I appreciate you looking out for me, though.
Well, you know, it's what I do.
Yeah, I didn't even realize this spooky 13. Oh, man, now I'm nervous. I feel like I should have, like, looked down my list to make sure I didn't pick, you know, like, the black cat card or something in this set. All right, so Eric and I were both interns at PC Gamer. And we lived together for about a year. Is that right? It's about a year, I think, Eric, right?
Yeah. Because we lived separate for a while, and then shortly, once we realized we were perfect fits, we...
Exactly. We couldn't stand to be apart any longer.
We moved in together, and then you decided to go and get married.
I know. Eric was actually my last roommate before I got married, so Bachelor Eric is how you're now known. Bachelor Eric 13 actually will be your name from here on out.
Oh no, I'm going to have to change all my online login.
Yeah, you'll need new business cards too. This is going to be an official name change.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
So Bachelor Eric 13, that would be the creepiest like pickup screen name, just go into a chat room. Hey, what's up, ladies? Bachelor Eric 13 here, ASL.
Well, because it's like, why 13? Are you 13 years old? Were you born in 2013?
Yeah, because that's not good either. You should not be in chat rooms at that age. Or was it 1913? And in that case, how are you still a bachelor, and what did you do wrong?
And how are you using a computer?
That's true. How are you still using this earth? All right, so Eric, as you, I'm sure you know, because you're a happy guy, we start
I am.
You are. Confirmed. Here, Bachelor Eric Bachelor 13 is a happy guy, if you know what I'm saying. We start off every episode with a reason to be happy, and I'm going to go first because I'm the best.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, Josh married 14. It's happy because he went to E3 this week. I went to E3 this week, and it was awesome. I got to, you know, meet up with a lot of kind of our old friends, Eric, that we kind of worked with and worked alongside. And got to see a lot of awesome games, including EVR, using the Oculus Rift virtual reality system, which I was really skeptical of. But everyone kept telling me Oculus Rift was amazing. I had to try it, so I tracked it down. I got to try it out. It was awesome. It was like a space flight sim deathmatch, essentially. Unreal Tournament in space.
I am so incredibly jealous of you.
Yeah,
like, dude. Ever since I was like 5, all I've wanted was virtual reality goggles in a spaceship game. and anyone who worked with me at PC Gamer knew, like, my favorite game of all time is Free Space 2.
Yeah.
And because I love just that flying through space, giant spaceships, lasers flying by. And the second I heard about EVR, I knew, like, that is my destiny.
To work, like, on it, or just to play it, to dominate
Strap on those goggles and be a space jockey.
Yes.
Like, that's all I want in life.
See, Eric, it probably would have been much better if you had done it, because, frankly, I kind of embarrassed myself. I was kind of paying attention when they were telling us the instructions, but, like, I couldn't figure out what button was, like, accelerate. So it, like, shoots you out of the docking bay, and my ship just kind of drifts there. And, like, my teammates zoom off, and I see, like, lasers in the distance, and I'm, like, trying to shoot from far away, and I'm, like, hitting every button, and one of them kind of looks like I'm accelerating, but maybe slowly. And it took me forever, but I finally got out there and, you know, immediately got shot. But, man, you target your missiles by turning your head,
Like with the, there's like a little retinal on the heads up display that's like the ship you're locking onto, and that's how you lock on with missiles. And oh, it's so cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's why I'm happy, Eric. How about you? We know why you're jealous, but what about happy?
Yeah, I'm certainly jealous. Shame we're not recording the jealous Hearthstone podcast.
That's actually at 8 o'clock. We'll be recording that.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly just bitter rantings, though. It's not. It's not a great listen.
I'm happy for a lot of reasons, but I gotta say this week I am happy because me and my friends discovered this new board game we've been like just delving into, and it's called Mice and Mystics.
Promising.
So it sort of starts out and you're all like these people who get wrongfully thrown into jail because this evil queen moves into your kingdom, and the wizard turns you all into mice so you can escape from jail. And it turns into like this tactical board game where you're fighting off rats and trying to escape, and there's like spiders and mouse traps and a giant evil cat who's like one of the bosses. So, it's super fun, and that has been making me very happy lately.
Now, hold on.
And it's cooperative. Like, you're playing against, like, there's a big storybook, sort of, that you read through, and then you get to a part where you get to play. And the story's actually really funny and clever, and so it's fun to be able to play a cooperative game where we're all working toward the same goal rather than tearing each other's throats out. So
that is nice. Is it kind of like Mouse Guard with, like, the mice with armor and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Redwall Mouse Guard inspired.
That is awesome. Now, my only problem with this game is the fact that you were trapped in prison, and the best solution a super powerful wizard could think of was to turn you into mice. He couldn't, like, teleport you or make you super powerful.
One would think. But I'm
not a master of the arcane, so maybe I just don't understand.
You know, I don't know. Maybe his key spell there was shrink into mice, but... You bring up a fair point.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, scientists have specialties, right? You know, like there's some mice, you know, focus on mice. So maybe this is just a wizard that focused on mice. That was really all he could do.
No, but the wizard, you can sort of level up as you go on. And one of his abilities he gets up as he goes on is the ability to summon a cheese golem.
Okay, yeah, this man's specialty is definitely in mice. That's pretty incredible, though.
Yeah, no, you know.
Wonder if we could get a Cheese Golem Hearthstone card. I would play that. I'd toss that in my deck.
Yeah, I would put that in whatever deck I was playing.
Yeah, that's a neutral minion for sure. No one claims to cheese. You know, no one has exclusive rights to that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what special powers a Cheese Golem would have.
It can sacrifice parts of its limbs to heal you.
Ooh, no, I like it.
Or to distract, because it just like tears off an arm and throws it, and the bad guys are like, that looks delicious. Let's take a break.
Yeah, no. All
right, so anyways, now that we got Cheese Golem, we're not talking about Cheese Golems this week. We're continuing our class card series this week with Eric. This week, we're talking about two nature-y hybrid classes, druids and shamans. Shaman? What's the plural?
Shamai.
Ooh. That's very foreign and fancy. I like
that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Latin root.
Okay, definitely. Shamai.
Shamai.
Thank you, Shamai Eric.
Wait, so, I'm more than one shaman?
You are, yeah. You're actually 13 Shamai.
Whoa. Yeah. 13 bachelor Shamai.
Yeah. All of them are bachelors. It's a tough tribe. Alright, so Eric, I know you've played a lot of WoW. Have you played a lot of Druid and Shaman?
Ironically enough, no. I have a level 90 priest, I have a level 90 paladin, I have a level 90 warlock, and I don't even have... I've never even started a shaman or a druid.
Wow.
But I'd like to say that doesn't necessarily translate to Hearthstone.
That's true.
Like, I'm not a huge fan of the druid in WoW because I feel like you don't concentrate on something well enough. You're always shifting. Oh, look, I'm a bear. I'm a cat. I'm a bear owl thing. But in Hearthstone, they actually really interest me. So
yeah, and you said off the record that you thought that the priest didn't interest you, even though priest has been like your WoW love forever.
Oh yeah, like I have probably 100 days in my priest. He is definitely my main.
It's cool. We don't care what gender character you play, Eric.
He's a blood elf, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, that's true, and it doesn't really matter with blood elves.
But yeah, no, it's interesting because the priest cards, I've looked at them and I'm like, okay, what kind of deck can I make? I love being a priest. It's so weird, and like, it's like, okay, now I'm healing, and then I switch to shadow form, now I'm doing damage. I don't know. Not my thing.
Yeah, it's really weird, because in WoW, usually you choose between being a healer or dealing shadow damage.
Yeah, it's not like you're switching back and forth in the middle of a fight.
Yeah, it's kind of like what priests like was like back in vanilla, because in vanilla, priests were doing that. But then they kind of tried to make you choose between one or the other. But, all right. So, that's okay. I've played a bunch of Druid and Shaman. I have both up in the 80s somewhere. I don't remember exactly. I haven't taken them through Pandaria yet. But sure, I'm digging them. I do want to play the Druid and Pandaria because I want to throw those mushrooms all over the place and just be like, but I hate Boomkins. They look so goofy.
They look so dumb. The troll Boomkin looks all right.
Yeah, well, that's because you really can't make a troll look bad. Trolls are just the best race of all time. So
Fair point.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into it. We're going to have a full card list of all these cards on the website, gamediplomat.com. So as we're talking about them, if you can't picture them or you're more of a visual learner, go there, check it out. We'll have links to actually all the Druid and Shaman cards as well if you want to check them out yourself. So let's do Druid first, Eric, because that's alphabetical and it feels right.
Sure.
So the Druid class, kind of, when I was looking through the cards, tell me if you think there's more. These were kind of, I saw three kind of main themes. Choosing between two options. So a lot of cards are like, do this or do this, and you have to choose. There's a small like healing kind of trend in there as well. And another big one, which kind of surprised me, and I'm not sure why it's particularly the Druid, but it's mana acceleration. Gain more mana, get more mana crystals, get an empty mana crystal, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird too, because the first theme, it's like, okay, it's balance, right? Balance, yeah. Any listeners who don't play World of Warcraft, balance is one of the Druid specs. And so it's like, okay, you're kind of choosing between stuff. You can sort of balance between doing this and that. And then there's obviously the healing, because there's restoration Druids. It's a huge part of being a Druid. But then, yeah, that last part comes out of nowhere, and it's like, not sure this fits the theme, but yeah, I can appreciate.
The only thing I could say is they were the first class to have like Innervate, you know, which restores mana
to
somebody. But yeah, so it is interesting. But those are kind of the three things. The other thing to think about as we're talking about these cards is the Druid hero ability is you spend 2 mana, you get 1 armor and 1 attack. And what that does, it lets you attack, and then the armor absorbs one of the damage you would take in response. The armor stacks and stays on you, and the attack goes away at the end of the turn. So just keep that in mind. We're not going to talk about every Druid card on this podcast. We're probably going to try and do something like that in the future once we're building specific decks. But for now, we're just going to look at the highlights and the lowlights. We're each going to pick our 3 favorite and our 3 least favorite, just like we did this last time with Warrior and Priest. So let's start with favorite, Eric, because we're the Happy Hearthstone podcast. We're starting with
absolutely
positives.
Absolutely.
Personal favorites. These are just cards we want to play. They're not necessarily, you know, objectively the best.
Yeah, I'm not much of a theory crafter. I'm not like crunching numbers and math and stuff. I found some cards I really like.
All right, I am a theory crafter, but sometimes, you know, it gets the better of me. Sometimes I just love a card even though it's not good.
Sure.
All right, but this one is theory crafted. I don't know how to say a lot. I'm trying to think of a phrase. I don't know. Yeah.
Heavily?
To the max. We're going like 80s style. All right. Sure. I'm going first, Eric. Savagery. I love this card. This is a spell. It's 2 mana. And what it does is you deal damage equal to your hero's attack to all enemy minions. Now, 2 mana, that's great damage. Even if you're not removing all of the enemies. Because I understand, you know, this card is not going to remove everything on the board. But Druids have a lot of ways to boost their attack damage. There's a lot of spells and a lot of minions and stuff that boost the Druids, like your hero character's attack for a turn. So I think anything that says all minions is almost always going to be worth sideboarding at the very least. And sideboarding, just for people that don't know, basically means you keep it kind of on the side and then you bring it in when you're facing specific decks. So if you're facing a deck that has a lot of minions, you sideboard this in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, there's never, like, not a use for savagery if your opponent has a lot of minions. Because one thing that's really unique about Hearthstone is health doesn't come back.
Yeah.
So even if you don't kill all their minions, they're going to be a heck of a lot weaker after you swing at them all. So
that is true.
And I got to point out, like, I just love the flavor text on this card.
Oh, I didn't even see it. What is it?
Oh, really? Even the most timid druid becomes a savage beast when you take away his honey.
What? Is that a reference to the magic card? The honey bear?
Oh, wait, I was thinking Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, it could be. Wait, hold on. Veins, honey. Let me pull up the magic quote. Runeclaw bear. That's what it was. It's from the 2012. And the flavor text on that one, so it's a big giant bear, this is a magic card, says the only honey it wants is the sweet nectar flowing through your veins.
Huh.
Which is interesting, because that was one of my favorite quotes of all time on a card. And now we got it in Hearthstone, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, bear's got to have his honey.
Bear's got to have honey. All right, what's one of your favorites, Eric?
I'm bringing in the big guns right away. The Ancient of Lore. He's expensive. He comes in at 7 mana. But, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of mana.
It's a lot of mana, and he is only a 5/5. But I love his versatility, because he's a 5/5. He can take a lot of hits. He can dish out a lot of damage. But when he comes into play, you get to choose one. Draw two cards. So if you're low on cards, you know, you need to find something else to toss out there, you could draw two cards. That's huge. Or you're low on health, just restore 8 health. Like,
that's good.
It's a great recovery card. He's going to protect you for a while. He can give you more health if you need it, or he can give you more cards if you're out of cards.
Yeah, I do like that, because I'm hesitant with health restore, but I like the draw card option, because that means it's never going to be wasted. You can never be like, oh, I'm at full health, I shouldn't play this card. You can always just take the draw.
Exactly. And so he's never going to be, like, unuseful. That's not actually a word, but... Hey.
Useless. How about that?
That's probably a better word. Yeah. So that's why I like the Ancient Lore a lot.
All right. Eric, see, I've always thought you were the intellect between us two, or the intellectual, if you will. So you go for the Ancient of Lore. I go straight for the Ancient of War.
Yeah, well.
Same mana cost, 7 mana, you get a 5/5, but your choices are not draw 2 or gain health. That sounds pretty babyish, if you ask me. This is, your choices are Ancient of War gets +5 health and taunt, so it comes in as a 5/10 with taunt, or +5 attack, so it comes in as a 10/5. Gonna melt faces with that baby.
Yeah, I got to admit, that's a pretty nasty-looking card.
Yeah, although draw two cards, that is good. But yeah, I think I'd go with Ancient of War if I had to choose.
I can see where you're coming from, but, you know, you're going to be sitting there with your 10/5, and then I'm going to draw some card that's going to explode it, so...
Yeah, but yeah, you know, see, I'll just throw down my 5/10 with taunt, and then it's like, yeah, have fun killing that guy for the next 3 turns.
Yeah. That's a lot of health.
That's how Ancient of War rolls, Eric. So, can you top that one?
Well, you know what could take down, or at least help take down a 5/10, is my next card.
That's what Force I thought. Of... Nothing can take it down, but they can try.
Okay. Yeah, you know. My next card is, it's called Force of Nature. It costs 5 mana, and it's a cool card, because you toss in 5 mana, you get 3 2/2 treants that come into play with charge. So you've just got, like, a surprise army that you just popped out. Because charge means, normally in Hearthstone, you know, you can't attack the same turn that you summon a creature.
Right.
Or a minion, sorry. Charge means that you can. So now all of a sudden, your opponent was like, okay, I don't have to play any like defenders. My opponent doesn't have anything to attack with. Bam! Three trees sitting out there.
Yeah, and there are a fair number of cards out there, you know, that give all minions, you know, plus one or plus two, and that suddenly gets really scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to say, this card was actually on my hated cards list because I misread it. I thought it was only two treants.
Okay.
And so I was like, five mana for four damage, like, and they disappear. Like, nah, I don't think so. But with three of them, that is a solid pick.
Yeah, yeah, especially with what you're talking about. Like, if you can hit them all up with, like, a plus two, which is a card I know is in the Druid deck. I've forgotten what it's called. But,
yeah. Actually, it's my next card, so I'll talk about it next.
Oh, all right.
So my card, Savage Roar, it is a 3-mana spell. It gives your characters... And so the word characters means minions and players, or heroes. So heroes is kind of your, it's basically you. That's your health total and the person you attack with. Then minions is everyone else on the board. So characters encompasses both of those. So it gives your characters plus two attack this turn. So I'd say with our last combo right there, Eric, that is a brutal attack.
We've got the synergy going on. Ancient of Lore, Ancient of War, Force of Nature,
Savage
Roar.
We totally didn't even plan this, to be honest.
I know. No, no. I mean...
This is the same synergy that made us such good roommates, Eric.
And such good friends, Josh.
Friends. Aw. All right, so do your last card before we get too sentimental.
My last card, you'll probably call boring. I wouldn't blame you. It's not an exciting card.
It's just one of those heal health cards.
It's Healing Touch.
Ah.
It comes in at 3 mana. It's super cheap, and it's 8 health. That's huge.
Is it just you, or can you do it to minions and stuff?
No, it's restore 8 health, so it's to your hero. But, I mean, a cheap, big heal, it's going to keep you going. And I really can't argue with that, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, all right. all I'm saying is, with your Healing Touch, that Force of Nature is going to be like eating through that 8 health like nobody's business.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And that's why I summon an army of treants.
All right, so Healing Touch, I'll let it slide, Eric. I'm not going to take it off the list, but I'm giving a disapproving look.
Okay, well.
All right, but let's get to the real meat. The best card of the Druid set. This is objectively, we think it should be in every Druid's deck. I want you to go first this time.
Okay, yeah. So we briefly discussed that third theme of Druids, and that's kind of what I'm embracing here, because mana acceleration is never not important. You're always going to want to have more crystals out there.
Can you kind of summarize, just to remind people what mana acceleration is?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm tossing out card terminology. So in Hearthstone, you're going to be getting 1 mana crystal each turn, and you use those mana crystals, obviously, to cast your cards. Now, when we talk about mana acceleration, it means we've got a way to get more than one crystal out per turn, which just means as the game goes on, your opponent's going to be able to cast a spell that takes 5 mana, maybe. You're going to be casting a spell that takes, like, 8 at the same time, which means you're going to win. So,
yeah.
In my card here, my best Druid card needs to be in your Druid deck is Nourish. Nourish allows you to choose one, which, once again, versatility, never not good.
Yeah.
The first option, and an amazing option, is gain 2 mana crystals. And it's important that these are mana crystals and not... there are cards that allow you to gain empty mana crystals, which I'm not nearly as much of a fan of. This, it means you are playing 5 mana, but you get 2 more mana that you can use right away. You can use them this turn.
Oh, yeah, so it's really only like a 3 mana cost.
Exactly. Card. It's a 3 mana cost card that's going to allow you, since it does cost 5 mana, that next turn, you're going to be tossing out an 8 mana creature, an Ancient of Lore, an Ancient of War. That's going
to
be coming
You know
out.
Which one to choose, listeners. You know.
Probably the one that came first on that list. But the other choice on Nourish is draw 3 cards.
Which is also really good.
Let's say you're late game. You're just playing cards off the top of your deck because you've got, you know, 7-8 mana out already and you pick up Nourish. That's three more cards. That's going to make a huge difference in that late game when you're going to have, you know, something to counter your enemy's huge minion or something. And that's why I think Nourish needs to be in every Druid deck.
Yeah, that is my kind of rule of thumb when I'm looking at draw cards. And I haven't noticed yet if some classes are better at this than others. But my general rule is that if draw cards cost less than 2 mana per card, it's a good deal.
Sure.
That seems to be the standard. Like, the average seems to be 2 mana per card. So this is 3 cards for 5 mana. So that alone already is great. And the versatility. Good choice, Eric. That's a good card.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't think I realized going through it, I didn't put the connection through that those weren't empty mana crystals.
Which is why it's so good.
That is awesome. But you can't match the Might of Cenarius. Or Cenarius? How do you pronounce that?
I've always said Cenarius.
All right, Cenarius, if you will. Cenarius is my in-game name, so that's why I love it. But yeah, so this is basically like the best card in the whole Druid set. According to Blizzard, it's the legendary. Each kind of hero has a legendary hero to go with it. And the Druid's is Cenarius. It's 8 mana creature. He's a 5/8, which, you know, on its own, not great. We're already getting more out of those Ancients of Lore and War in store. But when Cenarius comes into play, you get to choose one. Give your other minions +2/+2, which is great, or summon 2/2 treants with taunt. So if you say you choose the latter, say you have nothing on the board, for 8 mana, you get a 5/8, a 2/2 with taunt, and another 2/2 with taunt. Like, you're getting what is that? That's like 12 health total and 9 attack?
Yeah, that's pretty mean.
Yeah, and they can't kill Cenarius until they kill those things with taunt. So Cenarius is just going to keep poking away. I like this a lot.
Yeah, no, he is a badass Minotaur.
Minotaur?
Wait, no.
You dirty, dirty non-Druid. Everyone knows you haven't played a Druid now.
He's a Centaur.
He is a Centaur, not a Minotaur.
Yeah, you know, he has hoofs for feet. He's got horns. I guess those are more of antlers.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he's mean. You've got a lot of minions out. He just buffs all those minions.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot out. Summon your own treants.
Yeah. Bam. This is the guy. Gives your other minions +2/+2. Toss those on those haste treants you brought out, or charge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So good. And you want to talk flavor text? This guy. Yes, he's a demigod. No, he doesn't need to wear a shirt. So, take that. Take that, ladies.
To be fair, he's also not wearing pants.
That's true. But he should be wearing pants. That's what they're kind of acknowledging there. Yes, he should be wearing pants, but he doesn't need to wear a shirt.
No, no.
All right, let's go to hated, Eric, because I hate things.
Oh, well, you know, it happens.
Right. Again, this is personal taste. These are cards we, for whatever reason, don't want to play. We'll explain it as we go. And it's either because, it could be because we think they're bad cards. But it could just be because they're annoying or they're just not our playstyle. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with my first card. I'm bringing the hate with Naturalize. 2 mana. It's a spell. Destroy a minion. Your opponent draws 2 cards.
Yeah.
Remember when I said the baseline for card draw is you pay 2 mana per card? This is like infinitely, I can't even calculate the math how much worse this is.
Yeah, it's like -2.
Yeah, -2 mana to draw 2 cards? And yes, like against bombs like something like Cenarius, like that will be acceptable removal. Like you will pay that cost to get rid of him. But there's going to be so many games where the creature on the board is way less dangerous than your opponent having 2 more cards that could be the giant bombs that they want.
That could be Cenarius.
Yeah, exactly. So unless like their most powerful cards are already on the table, you don't want them drawing more cards. It's just so dangerous. So yeah, I hate this card.
I don't blame you.
Although I will love it when people play it against me.
Oh yeah,
so please play against me. I would love that. It'll be awesome. So what do you hate, Eric?
I hate Claw. Claw is a 1 mana card that gives your hero +3 attack this turn. So I will admit, I can see why Claw could be useful. But I never want to be attacking with my hero if I can help it. Because that's the best way for your hero to start taking a ton of damage.
Yeah.
So the fact that, okay, I can toss out one mana, I get plus three attack, it's probably not worth getting beat on.
Now, now to clarify, though, you don't take damage. You don't take damage if you attack the enemy hero.
That's true. That's a fair point.
But yeah, most of the time you want to be getting rid of the minions anyways, rather than dealing direct damage.
This could be really mean combined with savagery, which is like that very first card we looked at. Because if you're going to be given your hero plus three attack this turn, and then you could toss out that savagery and deal all that damage to minions, there's a good combination. But by itself, I don't know. It's just not my playstyle.
Yeah, and it's always tricky because so many of these cards, like, your natural inclination is you want to think of the best combination you could do
exactly,
with it.
Exactly, exactly.
But you always have to remember that that combination isn't going to happen all the time. And yeah, it's going to be rare.
Because you're only allowed two of each card in your deck.
Yeah.
So if you're relying on a certain combination to pop out so you can deal this huge wombo combo, it's probably not going to work out for you.
Is that what that phrase means? It's just a generic phrase that just means like a super rare kind of combo that works really well?
Yeah, I think I'm under the impression it came from fighting games where you get off a super risky combo like that pays off hugely.
Okay.
But I could be horribly wrong.
That sounds good to me. And to be fair, I mean, everyone plays card games differently, and some people love this sort of thing. Like, some people just build decks to try and get that crazy combo, and they don't care if they lose, you know, 80% of their games, because that one game where they pull off the combo, they feel awesome and they love it. But, you know, that's just not my style. I prefer much more reliable kind of strategies.
Absolutely. But I'm a little safer of a card player.
Yeah. But hey, if that's your sort of thing, these two cards may be right up your alley. But I'm taking over. You hate Claw. I hate Bite. So it just man, our synergy is so
it's more of the synergy.
Yeah.
Josh.
And actually I would argue that Bite is a much worse card than Claw.
You have a very fair argument there.
Eric's card Claw was 1 mana plus 3 attack this turn for your hero. Bite is 4 mana, 4 times I should get plus 12 attack, right? Like, cuz I'm paying 4 times the mana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead you get plus 6. It's just like, just play two claws at that point. You save two mana. Like, yeah.
You're getting ripped off there.
Yeah, I mean, that's another card. Yeah, it's going to be great with savagery, but all the rest of the time, you would be much better off spending 6 mana on something else. All right, so what you got, Eric? Hate more.
All right. I'm going to hate more. And so here's where I'm going to kind of go back on my words, because I talked about how much I love mana acceleration, how important it is. But here's a card called Wild Growth. And it's 2 mana for an empty mana crystal. Now, if you can get this out early game, it's going to be useful. It's going to, you know, accelerate you by 1, basically. Put you 1 turn ahead. Yeah. Later game, this card becomes worthless, almost, because you're going to want those 2 mana too badly to waste it on an empty mana crystal that turn.
Yeah.
It's
just like, late game, you could spend that 2 mana on your hero ability, gain 1 armor, gain an attack, so you could deal 1 damage to the enemy and gain an armor. I mean, that will always be better than gaining an empty mana crystal, unless your deck is just filled with, you know, Ancients of Lore and Ancients of War.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
I agree with you. I don't see much use in this. And I'm sure, like, theory crafting, it's going to look great.
Well, yeah, but let's compare it to Nourish, that card, my absolute favorite card, which is basically 3, right?
Yeah.
Basically 3 mana for 2 empty mana crystals, if you want to think about the conversion that way. Wild Growth is just miles worse.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. Yeah, so it is like 3 for 2 empty mana crystals. And this is 2 for 1 empty mana crystal. Well done, Eric. I like your math. All right.
I didn't get a science degree for nothing.
Well, and just to prove that cheaper is not always better, Moonfire. I hate this card. This was in the live stream, and and they used it to kill off a beast, and the guy in the live stream was like, "Whoa, good thing he had that." No, terrible thing that he had this. He got lucky. It's 0 mana, deal 1 damage. Terrible.
this is a card which waters down your deck.
Yes.
That's all it does. It keeps you, you're going to be like, in an intense game, you're going to be like, all right, I need Cenarius. I need my Ancient of War. Moonfire.
Yeah, I'm just like,
that's what you're going to draw.
Why did I put this in my deck? Yeah, it's just, I mean, there will be moments where, you know, it would just take one more damage to kill his big bomb and you'd win the game. But you have to remember those moments. You remember those moments because they're frustrating. Like, mm-hmm. 99% of the time, one damage doesn't make the difference, and you don't even think about it. But there are going to be games where you're like, why did I let Eric and Josh talk me out of, like, taking Moonfire out of this deck? It would win me this game right now. But it's just the rest of the time, it wouldn't do it. So again, if you want, you know, perfect, awesome combo, I don't even think you can combo this Rebirth. No, just never play this card. Never.
No, it's just not a good card.
Yeah. All right. Hit me with your last one.
All right. My last card that I'm just not a fan of is the Keeper of the Grove. So for 4 mana, you're tossing out a 2/4.
Okay. That's not great.
It's really not. You know, for 4 mana, you should be tossing out more like a 4/4.
Yeah.
And now, so what you're giving up for those 2 attack is this ability. Choose one. Deal 2 damage. So he's like a 4/4 for one turn, kind of.
Yeah.
Or silence a minion. Silence removes all buffs and effects from the target as long as it's in play. So I guess if you're fighting, I don't know, maybe like a warrior deck, someone that just buffs like a huge minion to be even huger.
Yeah, the silence Murloc could be... deck where all the Murlocs buff each other.
Yeah. Silence could be useful there.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of situations where silence is utterly worthless.
Yeah, and I actually like this choose one option because silence can often be useless. Like, I like that, okay, if silence is useless, I'll just deal damage.
Deal 2 damage. Yeah. But then you've got 4 mana down for a 2/4.
Yeah, the problem is definitely the creature it's attached to. The choice is cool, like always.
I think silence is a cool mechanic. I just don't.
Just don't want it.
Yeah. This card's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it at all. Like, all right, so what creature would have to be attached to this for you to pay 4 mana for and be happy about it?
I think same ability. I think for 4 mana, I would rather, even if his attack was boosted 1, even if he was a 3/4, I would consider putting him in my deck. Because a 3/4 is going to be outputting enough damage to take down, I would say, about half the creatures in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
2/4 is not.
Yeah, I agree. I think 3/4 I would play him. I might not be excited to play him, but at that point it's like, all right, he's a staple. He's, you know, like a 2/2 bear. It's kind of the classic Magic card where it's like, mm-hmm. you aren't excited to play it, but you need some of those in your deck. But as a 2/4, no way.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's... Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do some closing thoughts on Druid overall. Are you, after doing this, are you excited to play the Druid? Do you want to play the Druid more?
So I like the Druid. I like the Druid a lot. I like his sort of combination of tossing out big minions that work together with his smaller minions. So I would say Druid's definitely up there among my favorite classes in Hearthstone.
All right,
nice. Because it's my playstyle. I like minion heavy. I like having an army in front of me.
Yeah. All right,
Druid. How about you?
Druid is a lot of the cards kind of seemed cool, but even like my favorite cards weren't cards that I got super excited about. They were just cards that I thought were good. I'm not a big minion heavy player. I like, you know, interesting spells and kind of tricks more.
Sure. Sure.
So I think Druid isn't for me, but Druid looks solid. I'm a little scared to play against the Druid.
Yeah, no, I can totally agree with you. I don't think the Druid is interesting.
Yeah.
I think the Druid will be good.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
All right, that's good. Let's jump into Shaman, because I think Shaman is a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Do you remember card themes? I didn't actually write card themes down. So, I mean, Overload was kind of a big... They have a mechanic where that's where you pay mana ahead of time. Like, you pay mana the turn you play the card, and it automatically takes mana away the next turn as well?
Yeah, it sort of echoes back. So the next turn, you're forced to pay that mana again.
Yeah. So,
which is a huge theme in the Shaman deck.
Yeah, and so I think maybe the bigger theme, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, might be kind of like high risk, high reward. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, rewards kind of taking bold action and kind of hoping that the dice kind of fall in your favor.
Yeah, the Shaman has a lot of a word I don't like very much, which is the word random.
Yeah, you and I are in agreement on that.
Some people, I don't know who, but some people must love playing a card that just shoots out random stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, and maybe we are different on this one. I like random if the options are powerful enough that you won't ever, like, truly be disappointed. Like, okay, if you don't know what'll happen, but if no matter what happens, it's still kind of good, then I'm okay with random. It's where, you know, if it's random and one of the options could just make you kill yourself, then...
See, I'm thinking three turns ahead in a card game, and so if I have a card in my hand and I'm like, I don't know what this is going to do, that frustrates me.
Yeah, I totally understand that. All right, so let's get into our... the reminder of the Shaman Hero ability. So their ability is pay two mana, summon a random totem. And there's four different totems. I won't go over all of them again. If you want, go to our Hero Abilities podcast, probably about four episodes. We talk about it in great detail. But essentially, it's just a totem that lands on the field. It's a minion that has a special ability. So just keep that in mind. Shamans will have lots of totems because some of the cards reference totems and that sort of stuff. Yep. Let's jump into our favorites. Eric, tell me your favorite.
Okay, we're talking about totems. I'm going to talk about totems because it's a shaman. Shamans have totems.
Yeah, they better.
So, they better. So my one of my favorites is his Stoneclaw totem, which is it's one mana. He can toss it out onto the battlefield. It's got two health. It doesn't attack. It's zero attack. But it's got two health and it's got taunt. So that thing's just a bodyguard you are tossing out for a single mana. That's going to buy you time.
Actually, Stoneclaw Totem is one of the totems that is summoned from his ability randomly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think you actually get to cast that one.
I misread that.
Yeah, it's weird that they put a mana cost, unless there is some other way. But as far as I know, Stoneclaw Totem only comes out from the hero ability.
Okay.
So would you pay two mana for it?
I would not pay two mana for it.
Okay.
I think one mana is the perfect cost.
Yeah.
That being said, if it is one of the random totems, then I guess it's still one of my favorite cards. It's just not as
exciting. Yeah, it's not something you can rely on because it's Eric's favorite word, random.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric. I shouldn't have told you. I should have just let you be happy.
It's fair. The listener deserves to know.
That's true.
I don't want to be spouting false information here, Josh.
Eric is a liar. Eric Bachelor 13, known for lies. Not welcome in our chat room. We'll have a bot that kicks him out. Don't worry.
Oh, no.
All right, so I'm taking over because clearly you cannot be trusted, Eric. But you know who you can trust? Your ancestral spirits. They would never lead you astray. And you can summon them for two mana. It is a spell called Ancestral Spirit. Choose a minion, any minion. Doesn't say a minion you control, which is interesting. So there may be some weird tricks you could do with it. When that minion is destroyed, return it to the battlefield. I think this is fantastic. Like, and
yeah, no, and, absolutely.
Because, I mean, you throw out your bomb and you throw this on it. Suddenly, their choices change. They can't count like, oh, well, I can kill it. But do I even want to kill it? Because if I kill it, it's just going to come back. And suddenly, the card doesn't even have to do anything because all it does is tell them, don't attack this creature. And they kind of have to obey or else they're going to waste like four turns trying to kill it.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, for two mana, if you toss that on a minion worth more than two mana, you've automatically gained a bonus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if it's a minion that only costs two mana, but it has some perk that it makes it worth more than two mana to you, then it's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If it has a, what's the opposite of a death rattle when they come in?
Battle cry, yeah.
Yeah, if it has a battle cry effect, you're going to get to proc it twice. That's
awesome. Yeah, because it does say return it to the
battlefield. I would assume it would get to battle cry again.
I would have to check the rules on that, because I can't remember if Battle Cry only happens if you play the card. And they said they're actually changing the rules and changing the wording. Okay. Because right now there's two different ways it works. There are some cards that say, like, when it enters play, then that can happen anytime it lands on the field. But there's other that says, when you play this card, and that only happens if you play it from its hand. But they're still changing the wording on some of that. That was a blue post this week they're talking about. But yeah, I think... like, there's going to be times, yes, there's going to be times when you're top decking, which Eric kind of referenced earlier, which is where you're out of cards and you're just drawing the top card and that's what you have to play, where you're going to top deck this card and be sad because you don't have a creature on the board. But I think the majority of the time it's going to be good. And I just love cards that change the way your opponent plays. Like, it's almost like they intimidate them. Those are some of my favorite cards where it's just like, that's why I love secret cards, because you toss a secret card and suddenly the opponent is second guessing every decision they're making.
Psychological warfare in a card game.
That's what I want. Yeah, I want them to question their very existence. I don't want them to believe that their mother still loves them by the end of the time we're done playing. So there you go. That's my play style. So Eric, give me another card you like.
Okay.
Your mother doesn't love you.
Oh no. I don't even know where I am.
The 13, so man, you should have known. This podcast is going to be terrible.
I'm pulling out another totem, and this one I'm pretty confident is actually a card.
And actually, real fast, for people listening, if you're going to the links that we're talking about, because Hearthpwn, which... I die a little inside every time I say that.
Oh, yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. The website that we linked to that has all the cards, the way you can tell if a totem is playable or not is on the side, it will either say collectible or token. And if it says token, that means it's not a card that you can like put in your deck and play. But if it says collectible, that means it is a card that you can play.
Yeah. I wish Josh would have told me that before we
played. Sorry, Eric. I just wanted to make it look bad.
So this is the Monotide Totem. Monotide being one of my favorite totems in World of Warcraft because I'm a priest and we are mana hungry. But the Monotide Totem in Hearthpwn... Wait, Hearthpwn...
No,
look what you've done to me. No. Look what you've done to me,
the
Josh.
Developers just died a little inside that time. Where the marketing team for Hearthpwn is like, yes, we've done our job. Excellent.
I've just fallen for the trap. The Manatide Totem card, it's 3 mana, it's got 3 health, and at the end of your turn, you get to draw a card. So, it's going to be a big target. Hopefully you can get some stuff out down with Taunt before this, but when this comes into play, you're going to be drawing 2 cards a turn, which is huge. Yeah. It gives you so much more versatility, so many more options, which, you know, that's the way to win.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, even having this totem die before you draw a card is okay. Because you're going to have to spend a creature attack turn killing this thing. At least one creature. And it's like, if all they have is a big creature on the board, suddenly they have to decide between, do I hit Eric for 5 damage? Or do I, you know, hit this totem?
So he doesn't get more cards.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you're putting your opponent in a tricky situation. I like that. Good choice, Eric. Good choice.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
But it's not as awesome as a Dust Devil. What?
Yeah, that thing is...
So, Dust Devil, 1 mana for a 3-1. Already awesome. How about the fact that it has Wind Fury? And Wind Fury is an ability which means that when it attacks... Or sorry, it can attack twice. Mm-hmm. So you can choose different targets, not just it deals 6 damage. It can hit 1, hit for 3, then suddenly untaps and can hit again right away. On the same turn. So that's on turn 1, you could deal 6 damage to your opponent. That's incredible.
Oh yeah.
But
the fact that this thing is 1 mana blows my mind.
Yeah, to be fair, it is overload 2, which means that if you play it on turn 1, which I think is the ideal play, that's like the best situation you could ever play this card. Play it on turn 1 for 1 mana, you're not going to have any mana next turn, because you'll get 2 mana crystals and they'll both be empty, because Overload takes them. But honestly, what were you going to play on turn 2 anyways? It wouldn't be better than a 3-1 with Wind Fury.
Maybe 2 3-1s with Wind Fury.
That's true. Oh my gosh. I wonder how that works.
Actually, yeah, because then you'd have 4 overload. Yeah, I wonder if one of them just like explodes or something.
Yeah, or if they wouldn't even let you play it. Like,
you wouldn't
have that mana, so you can't play it. That's an interesting question. We need a judge. We need a rules. All right, what do you got, Eric?
All right, I'm finishing off my trio of totems here.
Man, you really do love totems.
It's a shaman. You've got to love totems. It's a shaman.
Now, I don't want to spoilers, but do you have totems on your hated list too? Is this just all going to be totems?
The listeners will just have to listening.
Stay tuned to find out.
So this is the Flame Tongue totem. It comes in for 2 mana. Once again, has no attack. So you might be like, okay, so
yeah,
it has 3 health. What does it do? It gives adjacent minions +2 attack. So for 2 mana, you've basically, provided you can place your cards well, you're thinking ahead of the game, you know, it's basically +4 attack as long as this thing's in play. That's huge. I mean, think about tossing in a Flame Tongue totem and some of those Dust Devils.
Yeah.
So for like 4 mana, you're going to have 2 Dust Devils swinging for 5 each time with Wind Fury. That's 20 damage. You've got 20 damage on turn 4.
Oh my word. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That combo's going to be insane. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Comboed with Wind Fury, so this is basically give adjacent minions +4 attack?
Exactly. And Wind Fury is like a huge theme.
Yeah, it's all over the place. So
that's one of the main reasons Flame Tongue is my favorite. Yeah,
that's a good call. I didn't even think about how common Wind Fury is. They just sprinkled it all over the place in here.
Yeah, because +2 attack is good, but +2 attack twice is awesome.
Yeah, well done. And then if they're having to waste turns killing this totem, whatever it is that's killing them is not dying.
Exactly.
So, wow. Oh, man, dude, you might have wanted to save that for your best shaman card. I can't wait to see what you got there.
It's pretty good.
All right. My last favorite card is the Earth Elemental, which I've talked about on the show before, so I won't rant forever. I think this is the best card I've ever seen in the set so far. It's a 5 mana for a 7/8 taunt with overload 3. So you have to pay 3 more mana next turn. But on turn 5, you could have a 7/8 with taunt. That is just so good. If they kill it, they will have to sacrifice at least 2 or 3 creatures to it. And you'll already get 7 damage off on their hero. I mean, it's just great. You're like 5 mana, deal 7 damage to hero, kill 3 creatures. I would play that card all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this thing is a beast.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, and this is where I think the shaman kind of trend comes in, like the high risk, high reward. A lot of people don't like it because you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket. Because you're saying, I will pay 5 mana this turn and 3 mana next turn. Like basically saying, I'll give up 2 turns to play this guy. And if they do have an answer for it, it's going to make you sad. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this thing's tough. It's tossing out a ton of damage and it costs 5. Even if it, you know, comes back with overload for 3. That's a huge hitter on turn 5.
All right. I'm going, let's do best. Most powerful objective should be in every shaman's deck. I'm going first because it's similar. I just talked about the Earth Totem. Even better than an Earth Totem. Or Earth Totem. Earth Elemental. An Unbound Elemental. He is unbound by his earthen realm.
Yeah. He has no bounds.
Yeah. No bounds. No bounds at all. Boundless Elemental. 3 mana for a 2/4. Not great, but not terrible. Like, that cost is acceptable to me on its own. But it has an ability. Whenever you play a card with Overload, which is all over this deck, Wind Fury and Overload are all over the Shaman deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
It gains +1/+1. So the trick with this card is you don't play it on turn 3. You do not play this card until you have other Overload creatures in your hand ready to go. And then what you do is you play this creature, then play at least 2 other overload creatures. And you give up your turn next turn, but suddenly you have like 3 massive creatures on the board, and they're just hating their life.
Yeah, absolutely. This thing is it's going to be a huge surprise.
Yeah.
That's its objective.
Yeah, and I think the biggest reason why I think it should be in every Shaman's deck isn't because it's necessarily the best card, but because it works well with all Shaman cards. No matter what Shaman deck you're playing, you will have Overload in your deck. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just too many good creatures with it to not have it, and so that's why I think everyone should have it.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can synergize cards with pretty much everything in your deck, there's no reason not to.
Yep. All right, so what's your counter, Eric?
All right, so you might recall that I really like totems.
This does sound familiar, yes.
So the card that needs to be in every Shaman's deck is Totemic Might. Because Totemic Might is zero. It costs no mana to toss out there. And it gives every one of your totems plus two health.
Ooh, that is pretty good.
It's amazing! You're going to have, like... You're going to be summoning these random totems using your Shaman ability. You're going to be tossing out these Flame Tongue totems, this Mana Tide totem, getting new cards. And all of a sudden, every one of those totems is way harder to kill. This is just going to make your opponent, like, scream in agony because he's not going to know what to do.
Yeah.
Does he waste a ton of damage on all your totems because those are giving you so many good abilities? Does he... like, ignore them, and your totems are just going to be, you know, buffing you up.
Yeah, because if you have four totems on the field, most of them at that point will have, like, five damage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they either have to deal, like, 20 damage to totems? Like, that's two-thirds of your health. Like, they'd rather just hit you. Like, that's so much time they would have to waste killing those totems.
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right, well done.
I love this card.
Yeah, so... All right, so I can already tell you like Shaman more than Druids. These totems are all over the place. But I know somewhere in your happy little heart, Eric, you harbor hatred. And we're getting to it right now. Yep. These are cards we hate, personal taste, or because we think they're weak, or we just hate them for no good reason. Eric, I'm going first because I want your hate to seethe a little more inside you and come out bursting.
Okay, it's building. Pressure cooker.
It is. It's going to explode all over this podcast. Now, my hated card, you know what I hate, Eric?
What do you hate, Josh?
Hex. I hate Hex.
I hate Hex, too.
Good. You should. Everyone that likes Hearthstone needs to hate Hex. And I'm
anyone
not talking
who's
about...
Yeah. Anyone who's PvP'd in WoW hates that.
Yes. So it's a 3-mana spell. Transform a minion into an 0-1 frog with Taunt. Taunt. Do you know what Taunt does, Eric?
It makes it so all your cards have to attack it.
Yes, it does. At least until it's dead. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. Sure, 3 mana for removal, that's okay. 3 mana is, you know, acceptable price for removal. But I also have to swing with my creatures at it? Like, really? I can't attack the hero until I kill this frog, so it's like... I just know. This is a card where it's not a bad card. It's not a terrible card. It's just going to be a super frustrating card. So you're going to have your bomb on the table. You're going to have your rock elemental, earth elemental. And this is going to be your only removal. And so you're going to have to remove it and then waste a turn with your giant rock elemental killing a 0-1 frog. And it's just like, why?
Like, okay, that's 7 damage that just went down the drain.
Yeah, it's just going to be so frustrating. So I hate it. I hate you, Hex. Take that. Are you sufficiently bubbly over there? Are you like champagne ready to pop open?
It's like Mount Eyjafjallajökull. I think that's the Icelandic one that like stopped all air traffic in Europe for like a month.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't even know. I mean, I shouldn't say I didn't know it had a name, because I'm sure it did have a name.
You barely escaped it, man.
I know.
You were up in Iceland, and that thing went off, and you barely got home.
Yeah, but I don't look behind me, Eric. I was I tossed on my sunglasses, the explosion went on behind me, and I just cruised on that plane.
That's the Josh Augustine way.
All right, so let out your hatred.
Okay.
Come to the dark side.
Doomhammer.
Doomhammer. But that's Thrall's mace. You can't hate it. Thrall's awesome.
Thrall's awesome, sure. But you're... Okay, so we've got a shaman. Shamans aren't meant for... The shaman isn't really meant for doing direct damage. His ability is summoning random totems. He's really good at supporting his troops. And then you toss Doomhammer on him, which gives him 2 attack, Wind Fury. Okay, so it costs 5. It gives him 2 attack with Wind Fury. It's an overload for 2. And it has, granted, the Doomhammer does have 8 toughness. So if maybe you're not familiar listeners, weapons have a toughness, and so they can break eventually. 8 is a lot of toughness.
Yeah, this
is
most have like 2 or 3.
Yeah, this is a really tough weapon. You can attack with it 8 times. Now, I'm pretty sure with Wind Fury, each of your attacks are going to take down a toughness.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't
so it's just 4 turns, essentially.
So it's 4 turns. I'm just... This isn't what I want out of a Shaman deck at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... I mean, if you think about it... So if you take away Wind Fury, this is like a 7-mana weapon... For a 4 attack, 4 durability. That's mm-hmm. essentially how it works. It's just, that's not that exciting. 7 damage, or 7 mana for 16 damage? I don't know. Yeah, I agree.
16 damage over the course of 4 turns. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'll back you up on this. Thrall, get a better hammer, bro. That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's why he gave it to, you know, whoever. Wait, Thrall is the Shaman hero, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Never mind. All right. Sorry, Thrall. No Doomhammer for you, bud. But he will have Lava Burst, and I hate that he will have Lava Burst.
Yeah, I mean, what a... Like, I don't know who was designing this and thought this cost was worth it.
Yeah, it's there's actually a really interesting article, Eric. I'm going to send it to you. It's by one of the makers of Magic. It's one of the most enlightening card articles I've ever read. And actually, I'll post it in the show notes because everyone should read this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about the importance of designing bad cards and why it's important to have bad cards in decks. And it seems counterintuitive, but it's totally true and it's interesting when you read it. But anyways, so this is a bad card. So let's hope it was designed on purpose. This is, all right, so it's a 3-mana spell. With overload 2, so you're paying 5 mana over the course of 2 turns. Deal 5 damage. Now, the reason this is bad, and I love overload as a mechanic. I think it's frankly overpowered. The stuff needs to be way overpriced for overload to not be overpowered, in my opinion. But only on minions. Because what that lets you do is it lets you build tempo. It lets you get out those 7-8s early, and suddenly you're dominating the board, and they're playing from behind. But what doesn't change tempo is dealing 5 damage. Like, you could deal 5 damage on turn 1 or the very last turn to win, and it doesn't matter. Either one of those works just fine. So it's like getting this out a turn early isn't worth it. Like, you're paying it an extra overload cost for something that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. There's no point to having an overload cost on something that's going to go away.
Yeah, it's just like, sure, yeah, you'll be able to, you'll have more options because you could play it earlier or play this and, you know, like a 2-mana card or something like that. But it's just, it's overpriced. If it was decently priced, then okay. But overload, as it should be overpriced. But it just doesn't work on spells like this. So that's what I hate, Eric. I hate everything. What do you hate? Tell me more hate. I feel it burning inside of you.
Okay, this word's coming up again. It's Grand the R word.
The R word.
The R word.
This show is getting dark.
Random.
Oh, that word. Yes, good.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Forked Lightning. Now, Forked Lightning is a card. It only costs 1. Okay, so, okay, cool. Costs 1. Deals 2 damage to 2 random enemy minions. Overload for 2.
Ooh, you had me until overload for 2. For willing to accept that randomness.
I can agree with you. You know, maybe it's turn 2. Maybe they only have 2 minions out and you're going to zap them both. That's like the one place I would use this card. If they have 2 minions. If I know where it's hitting. As soon as there's 3 or 4 minions on the board, if that happens, that means I have a card that I don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
And that is of no use to me. That doesn't allow me to plan anything.
I finally found someone that hates random more than me. This is great. I feel like the crazy person here.
Oh, no. This card, this frustrates me.
Because it is 4 damage for 3 mana, which isn't terrible, but it's still not great. Yeah, and it's similar. And overload cost is similar. Like we were saying, you don't get a lot out of casting overload spells.
Mm-hmm. This just popped into my mind. I guess if you had the Unbound Elemental out and you were tossing out really cheap stuff like Lava Burst and Forked Lightning, you know, it would be a way to boost them up.
Well, that's true, yeah, because it does with every time that has... Okay, so I could see a deck built around that Unbound Elemental. But then again, if you can only have 2 in your deck, do you really want to build a whole deck around that?
Probably not. I don't.
Yeah, I don't. Because even if you do pull that off, as soon as you get it, they'll play a card that's like, destroy target minion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you'll be like, but I get to draw 2 cards because you're a druid.
Yeah. Yes. That'll be good, man. Yeah, I wonder if I can request to only play against druids.
I'm pretty positive that's an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. If it's not, I'll make it. All right. So you know how much I love to win Fury on those cards we were talking about earlier.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, surprise, I hate Wind Fury. Does that make sense to you? It should, because Wind Fury is a card by itself. It is a spell. 2 mana. Give a minion Wind Fury. So again, Wind Fury, what that does is it lets the creature attack twice each turn. 2 mana to give it Wind Fury. It's going, like, it's not terrible. But why I hate this card is because there's a card called Wind Speaker. And you can pay 2 more mana to get a 3/3 creature whose battle cry is this exact ability. Yeah. So, you can either, you can pay 2 mana to give something Wind Fury, and if you don't have a creature card, that card is useless in your hand, or you can toss in this awesome Wind Speaker, and then for 2 more mana, you get a 3/3 body attached to it. That's a no-brainer to me.
Absolutely.
I hate Wind Fury because it feels like a trap, because it feels like the carnival game, where it's like some kid's going to see it and be like, hey, this is great, Wind Fury, awesome, because it's not a bad move. That carnival game isn't terrible, but... they're taking your money because there's a much better game right around the corner. All right. Give me your last hate. Or is that all of your hate?
No, I've got one more special, special hate charged up. Because we were talking in the Druid. I made a huge blunder and called a centaur a minotaur. But we talked about how each class has a legendary.
Mm-hmm.
And... Cenarius is an awesome legendary. So now let's take a look at the Shaman's legendary, one of my most hated cards. Because this is Alakir, the Windlord. He's like a raid boss. This guy's like huge, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, I've got 8 mana. I've been working toward this the whole game. Bam! He has 3 attack. he has 5 health.
Oh. But there are a lot of words on his card, to be fair.
He has a lot of words. He has Wind Fury, so he gets to attack twice. He has Charge, so he gets to attack as soon as he comes out. He has Divine Shield, so the first attack off him just bounces. And he has Taunt, so he has to be attacked.
In that case, I don't really want that creature to have Taunt. I want them to leave him alone.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Divine Shield and Taunt?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and
5 health and taunt?
Yeah. On legendary creatures, I don't even think I want Wind Fury, because if I'm going to have to attack a minion, that minion's hitting me back.
Exactly.
So it's like, if I have to attack them twice to kill them, if they have 6 health, like, instead of just attacking once, if I was, you know, dealing 6 damage, like, you're taking double the damage back? Yeah, this guy, like, I don't want taunt on it. I don't want Wind Fury on it. I never really thought of those like elements as drawbacks, but this card has taught me to dislike those. Yeah.
Okay, and so just I want to step back from a second. Let's forget about the abilities. Okay. So he's Alakir the Windlord. He is literally one of the 4 elemental lords, like a raid boss. Now let's look at the Earth Elemental, which you fight at level 12. You're fighting Earth Elementals at level 12. Alakir is like a level 90 raid boss. The Earth Elemental has 7 attack and 8 health. And Alakir has 3 and 5. I don't get it.
Yeah, that is really weird.
It bugs me deep down inside that Alakir is this crappy.
All right, so what stats would need to be on his body? Say you couldn't change the text. He's going to have taunt. He's going to have wind fury.
Then he needs to have more health.
Health, or are you fine with 3 attack? For 8
not
mana?
Really. I'm not really fine with 3 attack, but if he has wind fury and taunt, he's going to be getting hit a lot.
Yeah.
He cannot have 5 health.
Yeah. He's going to be
He needs like 8 health.
Yeah. Like if
and maybe like 4 attack.
If your opponent was scared of him, he would have no problem killing him in a turn. So you would never actually get to play him because mm-hmm. he'll be asleep. Wait, does he have charge? Okay, he does have charge. Okay, so he can at least attack once for 3 damage.
And he does have that Divine Shield, so that's a 1 free attack against him. But still, he would not be hard to take down.
Yeah. All right, it's so would you want 8 health? Would you want 10 health?
Like 8, yeah. Like 8 health and 4 attack. Then I would consider using Alakir.
Yeah. I think 8...
3 and 5?
Yeah, 8-4, he would be awesome. Like, I think he would be an amazing card and worthy of his legendary status.
Right? He's one of the 4 elemental lords. He's up there with, like... why am I blanking on the big fiery tornado dude?
Ragnaros?
Yeah, thank you. Ragnaros. Like,
is he really on that level?
Yes. Ragnaros is the elemental lord of fire.
Yeah.
Alakir is the elemental lord of wind.
All right, so let's pull up Ragnaros' card real fast, just for a quick comparison.
No,
so
absolutely.
Ragnaros,
absolutely.
The Fire Lord, 8 mana, same
mm-hmm.
cost.
Mm-hmm.
8 attack and 8 health.
Yes.
And he can't attack. Okay, that's a bummer. That's a major downside. But at the end of your turn, deal 8 damage to a random enemy.
Yes.
You hate random. Wouldn't
I do.
Didn't you still rather have?
So much rather. Take Ragnaros, then Alakir, the Wind Lord.
So there you have it. Fire beats air. That is an official ruling. You know, somewhere in some game, like, Alakir, the Wind Lord, is going to come out, and he's going to die to an Earth Elemental. And I just picture your face just, like, raging to the heavens, like, this should not be. And Chris Metzen will shed a lonely tear.
Right.
What have they done to my lore?
Why does an Earth Elemental have more health than Sylvanas Windrunner?
Oh.
Lore senses are tingling.
It's made out of Earth, bro. Can't beat Earth.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Alright, so that does it for our Shaman card list. Overall thoughts on Shaman? Are you excited to play him?
I'm excited for Shaman. It's my kind of deck. Even with the occasional random card, I won't throw him in, probably.
Even though it's a legendary, you're going to get it, and everyone else would be so happy to get that card, and you're just going to like cross your arms and be like, nice try, Blizzard. I'm standing strong.
But the fact that you can like combine the totems with the Wind Fury to hit these massive attacks come swinging in, that's my kind of deck. I love that synergy.
Yeah, I think Shaman is going to be my hyper-aggressive deck. Mm-hmm. So I already know, like, I'm not going to spoil. One of the classes we'll be talking about on a future episode is going to be my, like, control deck. Like, my hyper, like, just like you thinking 4 turns ahead, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, you just kind of want to go out and play a brainless class, right? And so I'm just going to take Shaman, take all the random cards, summon random totems, play all the charge with Wind Fury, and just swing. Just play creatures every turn. An attack every turn and just be like, let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
Let them figure
Absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely.
All right, so Eric, it is time for you to sing. And I know that you actually do sing. I don't think we've had a guest on this show that is trained in any way in singing.
I happen to know, I have it
on good authority that you are in an opera currently.
I am. I am an operatically trained baritone. And, I saw that on your list and I was like, oh no, he's going to be expecting so much.
I'm expecting great things.
So we'll see. I'll need to find my pitch pipe here, but...
Hey, whenever you're ready, you take your time warming up. I understand. If you need to do like, I know I need unique New York, or I forget how that one goes. Greg Henniger at Games Radar is going to be, you know, kicking my butt now for forgetting that. He tried so hard to teach us.
All right. Getting. Mm. Happy Hearthstone presents the card of the week. It could be strong or it could be meek. Whether minion, weapon, or ability, mana cost of 8 or even free. We really like this card, so listen quick to Josh and Eric.
That was incredible. That was maybe the 10 best seconds of my entire life.
I am. We'll post the lyrics on the site.
Please, yes. You can sing along at home.
Absolutely. I would love nothing more.
Thank you for actually writing lyrics too. Some people just like sing card of the week. Yours was.
I'm a listener. I know, and yeah. I was not satisfied. I knew that. Card of the week deserves so much better. It's the card of the week, man.
It is. It's really the best card of the whole week.
Yeah. And it deserves a good song.
It's good. And it's good because this card was going to take a good song from you whether you wanted to give it or not. Because it is the Bloodsail Raider. This is a dwarf female pirate that has a gun and I think a parrot. It is a 2-mana neutral creature, which means it can play in any deck. It is a 2/3. So already 2-mana for a 2/3, solid. But its battle cry, when it comes out, so this happens when you first play it on the field, mm-hmm. It gains attack equal to the attack of your weapon.
Oh, yes.
This is insane. Because, say someone like a druid. You remember that card that is, add +6 attack to your attack this turn? Suddenly that got a lot more versatile.
It's, yeah, I mean, if you're playing, I know we haven't jumped into the fighter yet. Oh, wait, no, last week was fighter, right?
Are you saying warrior? What is this fighter?
Warrior. Fire.
You crazy D&D guy.
I'm sorry. Warrior.
Yes, the warrior.
Last week was warrior and priest, yeah.
Yeah.
So we all know Gore Howl is out there.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you remind people what that is?
Okay. Gore Howl is, it's a weapon in the warrior deck. It's an epic, so it's an awesome card. 7 attack.
7 attack.
It's a 7-mana card, yeah. But it's a 7-attack weapon.
Yeah, and so this creature would come out as a 9/3 for 2
uh-huh.
mana. Yeah, and the reason I think I love this creature so much is that its ability makes it useful late game. Even if you had to play it on turn 2... Like, it's still okay. It's on its own. It's going to be great. Would you cast it on turn 2, Eric, or would you hold on to it?
Oh, no. I mean, if I was desperate, sure. Get it out there. It has 3 health. It can do some blocking. It can do some attacking. But I'm waiting to toss this guy out as a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to get this guy out there and being like, bam. This thing has 7 attack or 9 attack, something like that.
Yeah, because even if it doesn't survive till the next turn, if it doesn't survive to do that 7 attack, like, it's going to freak the opponent out. Because then they're going to be like,
yeah, absolutely.
Do they have another one? Do I have to worry about another 7/3 coming out? Or if you have a card, or one of the minions that gives all other minions charge, so it can swing mm-hmm. the second it comes out, just like, bam, bam, wow.
Give that thing Wind Fury.
Oh my gosh. GG.
Give that thing an ancestral spirit, so it's just going to come back anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's just so many cool options for this one. It's interesting. No, I love that.
It is very interesting. It's very versatile. It deserves card of the week. Plus, it's a pirate. And I know you, Josh. We live together. I know how much you love pirates.
I do. My rogue in game, my troll rogue, still wears the pirate hat that I had to get the hard way before it's easy to get now.
That makes me, side note, that makes me so angry how easy it is to get
I now. Know, and now it's oh, you want to get back friendly with goblins? That's cool. Just dye some, silk scarves and give it to us. Like, what? I spent an entire summer farming that stupid goblin quest in Feralis.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyhow.
Anyways, yeah. So, I think that's going to do it for us for this week. Like I said, we're at the top of the show, we're going to have full show notes along with links to all the videos, trailers, and every single card we talked about today on the blog, gamediplomat.com. Just swing by there, click on Hearthstone at top, and you'll see all the Hearthstone episodes. Most importantly, though, we'd love to know what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see added for future episodes. You can contact me directly on Twitter. I am @JAugustine, or email me, ajosh@outlook.com. And Eric, where can people find you?
I guess if you really want to hear my thoughts on, you know, video games and board games and the occasional Disney Channel show. no, I'm kidding. That's stopped, I swear. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Belsaas. That's BelSaas. I'm publishing a article in the Journal of American Chemistry Education. So if you're interested in biochemistry education, you can check me out there too.
That's awesome. Is that something you have to subscribe to, or is it like online or what?
So if you have a university around, you can usually find them in the library. It could go online. Yeah. Otherwise it's a journal, right? So it's like a professional thing.
Yeah. I get it. I wouldn't understand.
Well, you know, in my free time, when I'm not making Hearthstone podcasts, I do a little chemistry.
You do. And that's why I like it. I want you to kind of construct the ultimate card, like in some mad scientist lair, and like pull it out with tongs and it's smoking.
Lightning strikes it. I have done it.
This is the Alakir that we deserved.
He has 6 wind furies.
Oh my gosh. Just attack over and over and over.
He's
and
made
over.
Of wind. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. He should have like double wind fury at least.
Something cool.
Yeah.
Not divine shield. He makes me so angry, Josh.
He's secretly a paladin. I don't know how you didn't know this. This was in the lore. Yeah. All right. So, of course, you can also leave a comment on the blog, GameDiplomat.com, as well. You can join our Google Plus community, which has been bustling lately. We got some new people in there who are super excited to talk about the game, which is awesome. Just go to Google Plus and search for Happy Hearthstone and start talking about the cards with us.
Josh?
Yes?
I have something exciting.
What is that? You're pregnant. Congratulations.
I just joined your Google Plus community.
Oh, you did? Awesome. Have you posted anything yet?
No, I literally just joined while you were talking.
Well, then my spiel was convincing. Excellent. It's
very convincing.
I hope everyone else listening like immediately drop what they're doing and join the Google Plus community.
Absolutely. You can talk to me for Pete's sake.
Yeah, come on. And I used the word bustle. What more do you want?
My life is complete.
I knew it. So thanks, Eric, for being on the show.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Well, I'll take advantage of that. And
yeah,
it doesn't even
have to be 13 for me to be
13,
honest.
Yeah. Well, wait till 113. What's another unlucky number?
The Chinese really hate anything with the number 4, because the number... it's like the number 4 in Chinese is the same word as death. I don't know how that works, but... So 14 even works.
All right, so expect Eric on every 10 shows. Right. He will be here to keep us, so he can absorb all the bad luck while I get away scot-free.
Yep, that's so science.
Thanks again for everyone listening and visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone. Oh, yeah. See, but here's the difference. You know how to play Arena.